You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Verses 26 through 35. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this may be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God."
She pulled her friends to save them. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
The innkeeper. That was a long, long time ago, said the innkeeper, and a long, long way away. But the memories of men are also long, and nobody has forgotten anything about my own sad, queer part in all, unless maybe they have forgotten the truth about it. But you can never blame people for forgetting the truth, because it is, after all, such a subtle and evasive commodity. In fact, all that distinguishes a truth from a lie may finally be no more than just the flutter of an eyelid or the tone of a voice. If I were to say, I believe, that would be a lie. But if I were to say, I believe, that would be the truth. So I do not blame posterity for forgetting the subtleties and making me out to be the black villain of the piece. The heartless one who said, no room, no room. I'll even grant you that a kind of villainy may be part of the truth, but if you want to speak the whole truth, then you will have to call me a villain with a catch in your voice, at least a tremor, a hesitation maybe, with even the glitter of almost a tear in your eye. Because nothing is entirely black, you know, not even the human heart. I speak to you as men of the world, said the innkeeper, not as idealist, but as realist. Do you know what it is like to run an inn, to run a business, a family, to run anything in this world for that matter, even your own life? It's like being lost in the forest of a million trees, said the innkeeper, and each tree is a thing to be done. Is there fresh linen on the beds? Did the children put on their coats when they went out? Has the letter been written? Has the book been read? Is there money enough left in the bank? Today we have food in our bellies and clothes on our back, but what can we do to make sure that we will have them still tomorrow? A million trees. A million things. Until finally we have eyes for nothing else, and whatever we see turns into a thing, the sparrow lying at the dust at your feet, just a thing to be kicked out of the way, not the mystery of death. The calling of children outside your window, just a distraction, an irrelevance, not life, not the wildest miracle of them all. That whispering in the air that comes sudden and soft from nowhere, only the wind, the wind. Of course I remember very well the evening they arrived. I was working on my accounts and looked up just in time to see the woman coming through the door. She walked in that slow, heavy-footed way that women have in the last months, as though they were walking in a dream or at the bottom of a sea. Her husband stood a little behind her, a tongue-tied, helpless kind of man, I thought. I cannot remember either of them saying anything, although I suppose some words must have been passed. But at least it was mostly silent. It was clear enough what they wanted. The stars had come out. I remember the stars perfectly. Though I don't know why I should, sitting inside as I was, and my wife's cat jumped onto the table where I was sitting. I had not stood up, of course. There was mainly just silence. Then it happened, much in the way that you have heard. I did not lie about there being no room left. There really was no room. Though perhaps if there had been a room, I might have lied. As much for their sake as for the sake of the inn, their kind would have felt more at home in a stable. That's all, and I do not mean that unkindly either. God knows. Later that night, when the baby came, I was not there. The innkeeper said, I was lost in the forest somewhere, the unenchanted forest of a million trees. 15 steps to the cellar, and watch out for your head going down. Firewood to the left. If the fire goes out, the heart freezes. Only the wind, the wind. I speak to you as men of the world. So when the baby came, I was not around, and I saw none of it. As for what I heard, just at that moment itself of birth, when nobody turns into somebody, I do not rightly know what I heard. But this I do know, my own true love. All your life long, you wait for your own true love to come. We, all of us do, our destiny, our joy, our heart's desire. So how am I to say it, gentlemen? When he came, I missed it. Pray for me, brothers and sisters. Pray for the innkeeper. Pray for me and for all of us, my own true love.
Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him.
Beware of beautiful strangers, said one of the magi astrologers, the wise men, and on Friday avoid travel by water. The sun is moving into the house of Venus, so affairs of the heart will prosper. We said this to Herod, or something along those lines, and of course it meant next to nothing. To have told him anything of real value, we would have had to spend weeks of study, months, calculating the conjunction of the planets at the precise moment of his birth, and at the births of his parents and their parents back to the fourth generation. But Herod knew nothing of this, and he jumped the nonsense we threw him like a hungry dog and thanked us for it. A lost man, you see, even though he was a king. Neither really a Jew nor really a Roman. He was at home nowhere, and he believed in nothing, neither Olympian Zeus nor the Holy One of Israel, who cannot be named. So he was ready to jump at anything, and he swallowed our little jingle whole. But it could have hardly been more obvious that jingles were the least of what he wanted from us. "Go and find me the child," the king told us. And as he spoke, his fingers trembled so the emeralds rattled together like teeth. "Because I want to come and worship him," he said. And when he said that, his hands were still as death. Death. I ask you, does a man need the stars to tell him that no king has ever yet bowed down to another king? He took us for children, that sly, lost old fox. And so it was like children that we answered him. "Yes, of course," we said, and we went our way. His hands fluttered to his throat like moths. Why did we travel so far to be there when it happened? Why was it not enough just to know the secret without having to be there ourselves to behold it? To this, not even the stars had an answer. The stars said simply that he would be born. It was another voice altogether that said to go, a voice as deep within ourselves as the stars are deep within the sky. But why did we go? I could not tell you now. And I could not have told you then, not even as we were in the very process of going. Not that we had no motive, but that we had so many. Curiosity, I suppose. To be wise is to be eternally curious, and we were very wise. We wanted to see for ourselves this one before whom even the stars are said to bow down, to see perhaps if it was really true, because even the wise have their doubts. And longing, longing. Why will a man who's dying of thirst crawl miles across sands as hot as fire at simply the possibility of water? But if we longed to receive, we longed also to give. Why will a man labor and struggle all the days of his life so that in the end he has something to give the one he loves? So finally, we got to the place where the star pointed us. It was at night, very cold. The innkeeper showed us the way that we did not need to be shown, a harebrained busy man. The odor of the hay was sweet, and the cattle's breath came out in little puffs of mist. The man and the woman, between them the king. We did not stay long, only a few minutes as the clock goes, 10,000 years. We set our foolish gifts down on the straw and left. I will tell you two terrible things. What we saw on the face of the newborn child was his death. A fool could have seen it as well. It sat on his head like a crown or a bat, this death, that he would die. And we saw, as sure as the earth beneath our feet, that to stay with him would be to share in that death. And that is why we left, giving only our gifts, withholding the rest. And now, brothers, I will ask you a terrible question, and God knows I ask it also of myself. Is the truth beyond all truths, beyond the stars, just this, that to live without him is the real death, that to die with him is the only life?
If you're not sure what to pray, born king. Or if your gifts will only prove to herald lesser things. Or if a gift you cannot find, take it as a holy sign. Nothing is required of you. Knows the ways of wandering and fights your every move. Pocket furnace, frankincense, in familiar vestments, frayed by sorrow and regret, buzzing to the tune.
Reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 18. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them.
The shepherd. "Night was coming on, and it was cold," the shepherd said, "and I was terribly hungry. I had finished all the bread I had in my sack, and my gut still ached for more. Then I noticed my friend, a shepherd like me, about to throw away a crust he didn't want. So I said, 'Throw the crust to me, friend.' And he did throw it to me, but it landed between us in the mud where the sheep had mucked it up. But I grabbed it anyway and stuffed it, mud and all, into my mouth. And as I was eating it, I suddenly saw myself. It was as if I was not only a man eating, but a man watching the man eating. And I thought,
This is who I am. I am a man who eats muddy bread. And I thought, the bread is very good. And I thought, ah, and the mud is very good too. So I opened my muddy man's mouth full of bread, and I yelled to my friends, by God, brothers, it's good. And they thought I was a terrible fool, but they saw what I meant. And we saw everything that night. Everything. Everything. Can I make you understand, I wonder? Have you ever had this happen to you? You've been working hard all day, your dog tired, bone tired. So you call it quits for a while. You slump down under a tree or against a rock or something and just sit there in a daze for half an hour or a million years, I don't know. And all this time, your eyes are wide open, looking straight ahead someplace, but they're so tired and glassy, they don't see a thing, nothing. You could be dead for all you notice. Then, little by little, you begin to come to, then your eyes begin to come to, and all of a sudden you find out you've been looking at something the whole time, except it's only now you really see it. One of the ewe lambs, maybe, with its foot caught under a rock, or the moon scorching a hole through the clouds. It was there all the time, and you were looking at it all the time, but you didn't see it until just now. That's how it was this night, anyway. Like finally coming to. Not things coming out of nowhere that had never been there before, but things just coming into focus that had been there always. And such things. The air wasn't just emptiness anymore. It was alive. Brightness everywhere, dipping and wheeling like a flock of birds. And what you always thought was silence stopped being silent and turned into the beating of wings, thousands and thousands of them, only not just wings as you came to more, but voices, high and wild like trumpets, the words I can never remember later, but something like what I'd yelled with my mouth full of bread. By God, it's good, brothers, the crust, the mud, everything, everything. Oh well. If you think you were out of our, if you think we were out of our minds, you are right, of course. And do you know, it was just like being out of jail. I can see us still. The squint-eyed one who always complained of sore feet, the little sawed-off one who could outswear a Roman, the young one who blushed like a little girl. We all tore off across that muddy field like drunks at a fair, and drunk we were, crazy drunk, splashing through a sea of wings and moonlight and the silvery wool of the sheep. Was it night? Was it day? Did our feet even touch the ground? Shh, shh, you'll wake up my sleeping guests, said the innkeeper we met coming in the other direction with his arms full of wood. And when we got to the shed out back, one of the three foreigners who were there held a finger to his lips. At the eye of the storm, you know, there's no wind. Nothing moves. Nothing breathes. Even silence keeps silent. So hush now. Hush. There he is. Do you see him? Do you see him? By God Almighty, brothers, open your eyes. Listen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High, Prince of Peace, be born again into our world. Wherever there is war in this world, wherever there is pain, wherever there is loneliness, wherever there is no hope, come, thou long-expected one, with healing in thy wings. Holy child, whom the shepherds and the kings and the dumb beast adored, be born again. Wherever there is boredom, wherever there is fear of failure, wherever there is temptation too strong to resist, wherever there is bitterness of heart, come, thou blessed one, with healing in thy wings. Savior, be born in each of us as we raise our faces to thy face, not knowing fully who we are or who thou art, knowing only that thy love is beyond our knowing and that no other
has the power to make us whole. Come, Lord Jesus, to each who longs for thee, even though we have forgotten thy name. Come quickly. Amen.
Angels, we have heard a high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.